This is VOA News. I'm Melissa Felton. Doctors treating U.S. President Donald Trump for coronavirus say the patient is doing really well. That's according to primary physician Dr. Sean Conley, despite the president needing supplemental oxygen for an hour on Friday. During a 10-minute briefing on Sunday outside the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, the president's medical team said the president is now taking a steroid, dexamethasone, along with a 5-day course of remdesivir. That's an antiviral medication. The steroid is typically not administered in mild or moderate cases of the coronavirus. Dr. Sean Dooley, an Army colonel and pulmonologist, told reporters that the president's vital signs were stable Sunday morning and that the patient was walking around, not complaining of shortness of breath or experiencing any other respiratory symptoms. Dr. Brian Garibaldi, a civilian specialist in pulmonary and critical care medicine at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, said if the president continues to do well, he could be released to the White House as early as Monday. On Friday, Mr. Trump had a high fever. Dr. Conley said that, along with the brief need for oxygen, prompted the move from the White House to the hospital. Meanwhile, it's 30 days before the presidential election, November 3rd. While Mr. Trump is hospitalized, Vice President Mike Pence, who has tested negative for the virus, carries on the campaign activities this week, including a debate with Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said Sunday he does not particularly wish for the Brexit transition period to end without a new trade deal in place, but believes Britain could live with such an outcome. With the December 31st expiring of the transition period fast approaching, Johnson made those comments. This is VOA News. Belgium has arrested and charged three men suspected of involvement in the 1994 Rwanda genocide. A spokesman for the Belgian Federal Prosecutor's Office said in a statement Saturday that the three had been charged with serious human rights abuses. The spokesman said that their identities had been verified with the help of witnesses in Rwanda. About 800,000 people, mostly Tutsis and some moderate Hutus, were killed in the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. The UN's International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda indicted more than 90 people and tried 80 of them before it ceased operation in 2015. Since 2001, Belgium has held 5 trials for Rwandans implicated in the killings, giving prison terms of up to 20 years. The World Bank says almost half of Afghanistan's 18,000 schools lack proper buildings, and an estimated 3.7 million children are still out of the classroom, despite massive investment in the education sector. The bank's country director Sunday urged Afghan leaders to invest more in their people and stressed the need for continued international aid to create better lives for millions of people in the war-ravaged nation. Data from 2013 shows that 93% of 10-year-old Afghan children cannot read or understand a simple text when they finish primary school. A World Bank official said health indicators in Afghanistan are still worse than the average for low-income countries, indicating a need for more access to services, especially for women. Meanwhile, Taliban insurgents continue to inflict dozens of casualties on government security forces every day. Afghan civilians also bear the brunt of nearly 2 decades of conflict. Heavy clashes continue between Azerbaijan and Armenia over the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. Azerbaijan's second-largest city, Ganja, has been shelled by Armenian forces. The Nagorno-Karabakh enclave is officially part of Azerbaijan, but it is run by ethnic Armenians. The self-proclaimed authorities say they hit Ganja's military airport after Azerbaijani forces shelled the region's capital. Azerbaijan says no Ganja military sites were hit. More than 220 people have died since clashes began just a week ago. Armenia and Azerbaijan went to war over Nagorno-Karabakh in 1994, eventually declaring a ceasefire, but they never reached a settlement. At least 2 people have died and up to 20 are still missing after a powerful storm hit southeastern France and northwestern Italy. Storm Alex brought fierce winds and torrential rain. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton from Washington. You're listening to VOA News.